Am I working now?
You are on the air.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Dave, for it's a pleasure to be here this morning, especially that beautiful, beautiful weather. The drive out from Langley is just gorgeous. And it's most kind of you to have invited me. It's a great joy for me to be here, to see you, to be invited to the new vibrancy of this parish. So it's a wonderful joy. However, almost first thing, I come and see my old mentor, my old archdeacon, well, former archdeacon, Jack, who calls me the archdragon. Now, the temerity of the man. Of course, it's said with love. And then Dave has me sit in the most uncomfortable chair in the entire building. There might be a reason it's uncomfortable. Let us pause. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be that which draw us closer to you and bring our souls out into action and love in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Nearly 2 months. Oh, I thought I would say first, I'm wearing this because it's from the Holy Land of Palestine. And I'm wearing earrings, which are from the Holy Land of Iran. So I've been to all those places. And then nearly 2 months ago, I was part of a delegation of people, mostly but not all students, from George Mason University, which is in Washington, D.C. And we were all, in a sense, students of conflict resolution. We were primarily visiting and working with the refugees from Syria. We were under the leadership of Dr. Mark Gopin, whom some of you might name be familiar to you. He's a rabbi, author, professor, and bridge builder between Israel and Palestine and also for Syria for over 30 years. The other leader was a woman called Hind Kabawat, originally from Damascus, now living in Toronto. She has Canadian citizenship now. And Hind is one of only two women at the table in Geneva when negotiations were being discussed among all the parties of the conflict in Syria. Her role is that she represents the victims, the Anawim, the women and the children of her beloved native land, Syria. She is also an Orthodox Christian who speaks with the Arab world and loves and respects the Muslim world. These two, Hind and Mark, have worked in close relationship for years. There are many others who offered tremendous leadership and stories. And it was a trip filled with hope. Hope that the conflict might cease. Hope in seeing the resiliency of the people. Hope in seeing the joy of the children who can still sing and play. Hope from the families who have lost everything, from their homes, their possessions, their family members, their friends, loss of limbs, loss of hearing, loss of sight. Hope from the refugees themselves that one day they might return to their native land to rebuild. While we were there, there was talk of a ceasefire, and indeed there was, after we left for a short while, a ceasefire. And now, even though we know that the media is hardwired to focus on fear, the news from Aleppo is devastating. Thus, I received this letter via Facebook, written to Hind from a woman friend in Aleppo, and asked for Hind to share it with the world. Your sons and daughters in Aleppo are suffering hell from the barbaric air bombardment. The massacres are beyond any imaginations. Aleppo is living a state of terror. Russian announced that they withdrew from Syria, but they are still here and still shelling and bombarding. In the past 2 days, the regime has used every weapon against us, the civilians. Barrel bombs, rockets, cluster bombs, and the MIG jet fighters are used against us. Humans are literally on fire here. Please deliver my message to the world if you can. Aleppo is burning. Pray for us. Now, where is the hope? It seems as though the hope of the one we have followed, the one we have loved, it seems as though the hope has died. It's Friday. The darkness has enveloped us. Where is the hope? Well, my friends, it is here, in this place. Here in this place, this morning, we heard again the timeless words from Scripture. From Revelation, there shall no more be anything accursed. The night shall be no more. The Lord God will give the light. The rivers and the trees are for the healing of the nations. Metaphor, of course, it's not really literal. But those words are among the most beautiful in our language. Poetry, which is filled with hope. A kind of eternal hope that God is indeed in charge and that all things will be made new. Or the gospel, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Of all the final messages that Jesus might have left us with, he chose to admonish us not to be afraid, but to put aside anxieties and to let go of what frightens or disturbs us. His words hold a promise that we will never be abandoned by a loving God. There is hope. There is resurrection. Resurrection is not some sort of philosophical argument. Resurrection is not something we stand and say we believe. Resurrection is the Sunday morning defiance that in the face of all overwhelming odds, we carry on. We carry on with joy, with hope, with defiance against all the darkness which this world throws at us. We stand at the grave and make our song is what we sing. We live resurrection. And that, my friends, is what I, amidst the words from Aleppo, what we must hold on to. The group I was there with were a mixed crew of Christians, Muslims, Jews. The refugees were mostly Muslims, but some Christians. But collectively, the three Abrahamic faiths, which we are all part of, our brothers and sisters in faith, we were there practicing the defiance of resurrection. My trip to Jordan. We were in Amman, but what did we do? There were lectures on nonviolent conflict resolution, which, I'm sorry, that's a story for another day, unless we all wish to stay here till sunset. And which we all might need, indeed, if Mr. Trump is elected president. But that aside, we listened to the experiences of a journalist who had covered most of all the Syrian war until recently, when she and her family had to leave Syria. We listened to representatives from the US and also the Canadian embassies. And I pause here to say how respected Canada is for the role of taking in so many refugees. None of them want to leave. They want to stay, but some feel they must. And the role Canada plays with their sharpshooting expertise. Please, no more bombs. And there was significant sigh of relief, I must say, for our change of government last fall. We listened to Suleimana tell her heart-wrenching story of trying to live in Damascus and the torture which she received from the Assad bullies. We listened to stories of Syrian activists during these past 5 years, their hope for a Syrian spring dashed piece by piece, bomb by bomb. We listened to stories of the refugees themselves, their stories of the dreadful choice of having to leave their native land. It helped me that as Canadians, we have listened to the stories of our own native peoples who also do not want to leave or be pushed off their land. For many of the world's people, the land is sacred. It's a part of their identity. They do not want to leave, they much less be forced to leave. Difficult. Perhaps for many of us, for most of us here, are the ones whose forebears or ourselves are the ones who left a native land and now roam. These people whom we met, the refugees, they have all been traumatized by too much war. All civil war is a catastrophe. What does it mean for family members to kill family members? The key to any comfort, the paraclete, the comforter, the advocate, is empathy, compassion, not language. There is nothing we can say. So there was no language barriers. We sat with a group of women from the nearby Zaatari camp. These women invited us in. We stayed in little groupings, and each group had a representative who could speak English, some broken English. And each group would share with us what work they did or do. And we shared a sumptuous feast, probably more than many of them have. But it was a feast of food prepared for love. What tears of joy from the women as they felt cared for, loved, not forgotten, even just for one short visit. And we all cried together. We visited a school tucked away in a small village, a school for children with disabilities. A leg lost, an arm lost, a mother who had died, a brother who had disappeared. They had all been traumatized in this school, yet they sang and they danced and they told stories. They sang a song in Arabic, which was translated for us. Please do not kill us, we are only children. We cried. This school was begun by the local sheikh, and it was a high point for many, was a photo that we had of this fine imam, Mark, the rabbi, and yours truly, the priest, along with Hind, the one who had brought us all together. Brothers and sisters, arm in arm, we smiled. We had hope. The primary school which we visited was a school initially begun by a mayor of another small village, but now operated by Nusha, who is Hind's daughter. 26 years old, and she has already done the work of a lifetime. These children we sang with, we played soccer with, we danced with, we played basketball with, we painted t-shirts with, we broke bread with, and we laughed with, and we laughed with. We did art with them. They painted our faces. They laughed. Some of these children had not ever had any schooling in the past few years. And now they read. They read to us. They can write. And I can't imagine learning to write Arabic. And they do math sums. And they learn about their native land of Syria, to which they hope to return and rebuild when it is safe. That is their hope. We spent 2 full days with these children, a journey, for we were staying in Amman, and this village was a couple of hours north. I cannot talk of the whole conflict resolution, for there is, as I said, not time, but I do not wish to leave without touching on our response. Our response. I think it ties in with being the paraclete. Whatever we do or say can be a comfort. That's our mission. That's our ministry. We are planting a seed. That is incremental peace building. We may not see any results in our lifetime. And certainly as I look here and thinking of myself, that's much shorter now than it was. But we hope. And it begins with each of us. The wisdom inside of each of us, empowering the positive, not the negative, but empowering the positive, generating a vision of a new world, teaching, modeling empathy in local and global relations with all our brothers and sisters who live amongst us, and extending to all creation. We remember that while each conflict might have us think otherwise, this world is in fact becoming less violent. There's a lot less violence now than there was. And we know that change can happen. We have witnessed it. Look at Germany, one of the worst nations 70 years ago, and now among the most welcoming. The Berlin Wall did come down. Apartheid did end, not without ongoing struggles. But there is hope. So in our prayers, in our day-to-day lives with each other, we live with kindness, with compassion, with non-violence in our words and deed. We live as resurrection people of any faith, with defiance against all the darkness of this world. And I'd like to close with a saying which probably you're familiar with, but it seems apt here right now. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly, now. Love mercy, now. Walk humbly, now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Beverly. I'll now take you off the air, if you don't mind getting in your own pocket. I am not a pickpocket.